The following presentation is brought to you by Rita, the Rudyard Institute for Transpersonal Activity, a nonprofit public benefit corporation dedicated to disseminating the work and essential message of Dane Rudyard. All material is copyrighted by Layla Rudyard Hill. If you'd like to learn more about Rita or make a donation towards supporting the ongoing legacy of Dane Rudyard, visit www.rudyardinstitute.org. For the complete selection of free downloads of audio presentations by Dane Rudyard, visit www.rudyardaudioarchives.com. We hope you enjoy the following presentation of A Modern I Ching, The Sabian Symbols, Part 2, by Dane Rudyard. The recording is 43 minutes long.
And therefore, you are dealing there with something which is, in a certain sense, an American phenomenon, just like the I Ching was a Chinese phenomenon. But if you are able to see, as I said on Monday, through the fact and not be blocked by the fact, but see through the fact, or perhaps you could say in another word, if you are able to decode the particular coding which a culture imposes on the universal concept. You understand that? Because a culture imposed on a universal concept. Then if you can decode that, you see, then you can go through that code to the essential meaning which is being conveyed by it. You see. Now this is exactly the same thing that happened in the Greek oracle, except that, as I said, it was not based on a psychic structure in the same sense. And it is the same thing that happens also in your dreams. It's a coding of certain things, messages, which are given by all sorts of things. I think most of the time by the function and the cells of your body. Once they are released from the pressure of your ego, saying, I have to deal with life, you know, and I have to deal it in that way. So all those voids are stilled. But when that ego removes grip, you know, then all those little things begin to move around and do things, and the brain cell begin to dance. But you can also have a descent of power, a descent of energy, a communication of meaning, which comes from a higher, call it higher if you want, or whatever you want, a more inclusive level of soul, or God, or the master, or whatever it is you want to call it. Yeah. Now, this of course means that you must not take the symbols in most cases literally. Though in some cases it's amazing how sometimes you get literal connections. You have to extract the essential meaning of the symbol. And then you have to be very careful how you read a symbol. Now, I may, of course, fool myself considerably, we all do, but I think that I sometimes can get more at the core of a symbol than other people who are caught into the externality of the symbol. And you have to be very careful when you are dealing with a symbol, whether it is again your dream and all that, and the number of dream analyses that I have heard which made my head stand, is considerable, including by a very famous psychologist. And you have, you see, to see, especially when you are dealing with impersonal symbols. If you are doing with your own dreams and all that, you may be allowed perhaps some bias, but the psychologist should be there to try to go through that bias also, you see. Not only go through the symbol, but through your bias in interpreting the symbol, you see. But there you are dealing with scenes which are set, definite. And therefore you have to, what you have to do with it, not to be excited over the emotional element of the scene, you know it means this, but to try to take every element in that scene And everything which is essential in building that seed, and to take it, you see. And you have to go through all those elements and try to see in their relationship the archetypal quality which was supposed to be expressed there. Now, I might just give one example, for instance, which there was a whole series of articles which I wrote for American Astrology on the Sabian symbol also in 1946, 7 or 8 or something like that. Yes, I think it was 46 to 48. And I dealt a great deal with that. But at the time, I used entirely the things that Mark Jones had given me, a first course, mimeograph course on the symbols that he had published in 1930, 31 or 32, whatever. And afterwards, I found that he was not even himself satisfied with it, because he had been trying very hard to make every symbol positive, so that people wouldn't be upset if they had their son on that symbol, and so on. Now, this, to my mind, is not the way you are. And he realized that was not too good, and he tried another thing, and he didn't like it either. So finally, he came back to the original notation, which are very cryptic, and which you find in his book, Sabian Symbol, which I have much more developed, and we can show you a couple of things later on if we have time. Now, take for instance a symbol, which I think, if I remember correctly, is in the book, in his last book, Sabian Symbol, is marked an automobile. An automobilist is wrecked by a train, or something. I think it's a train, for example. It was put a little different mimeograph course, and I put it a little differently also in my book, Astrology of Personality. There I had to condense a much longer interpretation so that the thing is even more confusing in some spot. But that's all I could do at the time. Well, now, in his interpretation, even his later interpretation, Mark Jones kind of obviously is hypnotized to some extent in his consciousness by the thing, a wreck. You see. So it's a tragedy, you see. It's a negative picture. My God, if I have my son there, I'm going to go through an accident or something, if you want to be literal, you know, or else what is going to happen to me, and, you know, this kind of thing. But if you begin to see, understand the symbol, what obviously the clairvoyant saw was a picture of a train and an automobile. And how can a train wreck an automobile unless the automobile is trying to cross the path of the train? There is practically no possibility of that. So what is implied there is two things. You have the train and you have the automobile. Now, what is a train and an automobile? It's a way of going somewhere. But one is a collective pattern, the train, and another one is an individual pattern, the car. So what you have there, you see, is two things. You have a collective factor and you have an individualized factor. Collective will or purpose or plan or structure of the culture of the society, which move in a certain way ponderously and doesn't change, doesn't vary there, the thing is set in the rail, you know, something like that. And you have the automobile, which is, has a freedom to move wherever more or less it wants, relatively speaking. And there are possibilities for the automobile in its way of wanting its own way to want to cross the track of the train. And if he doesn't look carefully, the train is coming and so on, then tragedy ensues. So all what the symbol is telling you, beware of not crossing the will and the way of society. Because if you do that, you are going to be hurt. Now, it doesn't say even that the automobilist is killed. It said the car is wrecked. Now, the car has always to be related with the consciousness. The consciousness, to some extent, the power, but mostly the consciousness, the power, consciousness of the person You are, you know, they say it's a sex symbol. What is the sex now? It's part of the consciousness, very much so in most days, to most people today. And so you have there, it is the vehicle, vahan in Sanskrit. The car is the vehicle of the consciousness, you see, of the ego. So the vehicle of the ego consciousness is going to come to damage or ruin if it try to cross the things of the collective will of the train. Now, this is not a destructive picture at all. It just warns you. It just warns you that be careful if you have Mars, for instance, in that degree. Do not use your outgoing impetuosity and your faculty of initiative. Be careful that when you are going on and off, you watch which way you are going, and if you are trying to cross purpose, be at cross purpose with your culture and your society, you probably will suffer from it. Okay. Now, rather than to say some kind of blissful kind of twisting this thing around to make it sound positive, you see, you face the picture. But you face it in terms of what it is to express. Now, for instance, another thing, the first degree of Aries, which is, of course, the starting point of the cycle. So it is an extremely important point, and it should be an extremely important symbol. Well, there are some symbolic series of symbols which in which you have as a symbol the picture of a strong man in full armor fighting, ready to fight his way through and all that. You don't start life that way, and you don't start usually any cycle that way. Because a cycle is an emergence out of potentiality, and when you emerge out of the past, out of the diffuse and unconscious vast ocean of potentiality, you are never sure of what is happening. And you have always the possibility to go back to it, to fall back, to return to the womb, psychological term, you see. So that when you have a set of symbols which give you that kind of thing for the first degree of Aries, or other thing for other degrees of Libra, or things like that, you know that there is something a little spooky there already, you see. I mean, you see that you are dealing with somebody whose mind is working out, oh, Aries, well, Aries is a strong man, which is nonsense, usually. And you see, and so, don't trust it too much. Well, the symbol in Martyrdom is a very interesting thing, and it has element which, whether he saw it or not, Martyrdom has never mentioned. A woman emerging from the sea, and a seal is seen wrapped around her. Now first it's a woman, so that in symbol is the woman is always more the passive, more the receptive rather than passive. It's certainly not the aggressive thing at first, at least it wasn't until recently. And beside that woman who is emerging from the sea, around it is wrapped a seal. Now a seal, you see, is a mammal who emerged from the sea on land, but returned to the sea. It returned to the great primordial womb of life. So the seal is a symbol of the possibility in any beginning to go back to the sea. There is something which pulls you back to whence you came, you see. And that therefore makes the whole thing extremely significant. You see. It shows you that you are at a transition point where the cycle is beginning, but it's not beginning with a big flash. It's beginning at dawn rather than at sunrise. You know, it's just beginning to come out of the ocean of potentiality, out of the darkness, and there is never a complete certainty about it. And there is always the possibility to go back and to fall back, however I should say. Now you see, those are the kind of things which are extremely important. Now, time is passing very fast. There's so much that would have to be said, but let me say a few things now, which try to give some sort of the basic pattern. Now, the first, first essential, is that the Sabian symbols are not necessarily related to the degrees of the zodiac at all. No more than the symbol of the I Ching are related to the seasons of the year, though obviously they started that way. There still are a certain connection between the four seasons and some of the four basic hexagrams of the I Ching. But I Ching came to the point where the connection between the biological level became transcended to some extent and universalized into a very general and abstract pattern. And it is the same thing that could be done with the Sabian symbol. And I have devised a way, a very simple way, in which you can use the Sabian symbol exactly in the same way in which we use the I Ching as oracles in answer to question, in answer to solution of problems, but essentially in answer to the need, to the question, how can I best meet that situation? You see, not what I should do, but what is the type of response, what is the quality of response which would be more effective in meeting that particular situation. Not if it will, the situation will be good or bad, should I go there or should I not go there, or will I lose money or lose money. That's not the way of approaching an oracle. The point is, what is the meaning of doing this or that, and how should I do it best to fulfill my destiny? It's a phase of my life, and I don't know, it's an existential phase of my life, you know. It is all involved in circumstance and condition and relationship. And it's confusing, and I don't know exactly what will happen because there is so much absolutely unknowable involved in it because of all the complexity of relationships, you see. So the question is, what is the archetypal purpose of that there being that event to force me to respond to it? And therefore, you ask from that set of potentiality, which is the essence of your being in a way, which is your logos, your world in the beginning, you see. The world that is in the beginning of central and gospel, you know, the logos. It, this contained answer to all your problem, in the sense that it contained the series of potential archetypes, or archetypal potentiality, if I should say better, which could be fit into any situation. And when you are in a situation in which you don't know how to work it out, then you try to find out what corresponds to it. Now there is, little by the way, but perhaps I better go into more general than to go into those detailed things that you can be able to see in my book anyway. There's a very interesting thing, for instance, in India. Perhaps some of you have heard that there is a very ancient school of astrology, and there are two or three families in India only now, who has papyrus leaves, palm leaves and all that, in which there is apparently very definite data as to a particular set of events in a particular life, from birth to death. And they are connected with certain birthday, so and day and year of way back to 2,000 years ago, supposedly, and so on. I don't know. There is so much glamour on those things, it's hard to know exactly what is the fact. But, I mean, everybody agrees to the fact that there are those palm leaf things. And there are only two or three families in North India, I think, who have them. Now, a person comes to that astrologer there and wants to have the reading of his life. Well, it's a very curious thing. The person has to come at a certain time of the day. It has to belong to it has to belong to certain religion and so on, certain other things, I think, kind of bring it out. Then the very curious thing is his shadow must be measured. The shadow of the man is measured on the ground. And all that is taken in consideration, and then the man comes the next day, and the astrologer tells him whether he can read the things for him or not. And if he reads it, he takes the books and read it, and apparently somebody who it read, apparently to me, he asks you, well, am I reading it right? You see, because there is a matter of few seconds, and conceivably could be something else. Now, apparently those readings are amazing. You can tell how many children you have, how many parents when they died, and all those things like it, to the end of your life. Which seems like a complete determinism in a certain sense. But there again, you have to be careful. I don't know exactly what is written on those pages. But my feeling is that it is not that the man is trying to get at the page of the papyrus leaf which will tell his life, but it's the papyrus leaf which is trying to get the man that will fit it. You see. So in some peculiar way, like the measuring of the shadow, which of course means nothing in a sense, because it depends at the exact moment at which of the day at which you came. Because with the sun, where the sun is and all that. And certain thing about other things that are involved in it also. So that in a certain sense, what it almost means, you see, is like throwing the stick of the itching, but you throw the man into the papyrus. You see. The man has to come at the exact time which will bring him, I mean, if he is not the man that is supposed to fit that leaf, you know, then nothing will happen. So it is the existential fact which is brought to the archetype. And everything has to be tested so that it fits, you see. And then you make the connection, communicate with it. I may be wrong, but it seems to me the only way you can interpret it, and I think it's a very significant way. But of course, it is a type of thinking which is the very opposite of everything that is being taught and thought today in academic circle, in even progressive psychology, and anything which has to do with human beings and the behavior of human being and philosophy and everything else. And so that's why, in a certain sense, I used to say, and I still believe it very much, that astrology has seen in that sense, I mean in that type of astrology, what I call person-centered astrology, has significance for modern man, just because it is not scientific. Just because it is an antidote against the tremendously overbearing power of the scientific, intellectual, analytical mind. And of course, most astrologers think that I am completely crazy, because what they want to do is to make astrology more scientific by using scientific methods and so on, so that it becomes respectable. Well, do you want to be respectable in our present society? I'm quite sure that many of you here are not particularly too concerned with being very respectable. I don't think I ever was either, because I even had relatively long hair for the period in 1916, which was long ago. anywhere. Now, I can't go into the detail, but just let me indicate very briefly some things. It is still related, the symbol are still related, relatable to the sign of the zodiac and to the degree of the zodiac. The zodiac being a collective pattern which has great significance for mankind as a whole, especially at the biological and collective and generic level. And so you still follow the pattern of the year, the zodiac being the pattern of the year, really, you see. And so, as if you have read my Pulse of Life, you know, I speak to the day force and the night force, and the day force, begin to grow in power from nothing, almost nothing, to from Capricorn zero, and got, gradually overcome the night force and the vernal equinox. They are equal values, so they're at the beginning of the year, nature's year, and then it grows to full value in the summer solstice and so on. You have the power of the day force being the power of individualization, which tend to make of everything an individualized whole. And instead of that, you have the power of collectivization, which tend to group individuals into larger units, groups, societies, nation, cultures, and so on. That power becomes dominant and reaches its extreme of domination in Capricorn, you have it. And so you have two processes, really. The process of individualization, which take the first 180 degrees and the first 180 phases of the same symbol. And you have the process of collectivization, which takes the two second 180 degrees. And I divide it into four acts because it's a drama, it's a play, you know. The Hindus speak of the Lila, the play of the god, the play of Brahma. And so there is four acts. The first act, the first 90 degree, the spring quarter, is a process of differentiation. You differentiate from the unconscious, from the portal sea of potentiality. You differentiate, you individualize, and so on. So, and it reached the acme of differentiation at the end of Gemini, and then you have the act two, which is the summer thing, which is stabilization. You stabilize the process there. You see it even more in a certain sense in the houses also. You can apply those symbols to the houses, and if you divided the house in degrees of space and not degree of the zodiac, then you would have a closer correlation between the symbol and the placing of the planets in the houses, if you are dealing with astrology. Now, then the second phase, the process of collectivization, you have the third act, group integration, which starts with Libra and the zodiac, and group integration to cooperation, and in Scorpio, group integration going deeper and more total through the fundamental integration in depth, of which the sexual act and every ritual, religious ritual and all that, ceremonial magic and all those things are the expression. And then in Sagittarius, integration reduced to or out of which is extracted series of laws, of concepts, of philosophies, of ideas, and so on and so forth. And then the winter things, starting with Capricorn, for which I use the term capitalization. A capital, you see, is what is the product of a group interchange. You exchange service and all that, and you put away a capital on which you build institutions and all that, business and so forth. You see. Now, Then out of those four acts, there are 24 scenes, you see, of 15 degrees each, and each one has 3-5 degree sections. The first section deals more with the actional, physical, basic, root thing, type of manifestation. The second deal more with the emotional, cultural aspect of the problem, of the archetype, of the potentiality. And the third one with the individual mental approach. And so you go on like that, you see, forever. Now, you can also have a fourfold pattern which emerges, and you can use, for instance, the Aries one, Libra one, Cancer one, Capricorn one, and you have the two opposites in Aries and Libra, the individualization process, the collectivization process, you see. And then you have the process there in Cancer and Capricorn, which brings you more the sense of establishment, stabilization of power, stabilization of selfhood, and so on. Now, if I begin to tell about those symbols, I mean, it will never end. Another way you can speak of that fourfold pattern, which is very interesting, is that you can establish the fact that whenever you are meeting an experience or a situation, you have essentially four basic questions to ask. What is the question? What is the situation? Then, where to? To where will it lead? Which is the opposite. Then you have the how to deal with that situation. And then why has that situation arise and what is its purpose in the fullness of my life? You see. So you have the four angles, particularly of the birth chart in a typical chart, where the ascendant is the what, the descendant is the where to, the fourth house cusp is the how, and the tenth house cusp is the why. And when you get through that oracular process, which I don't want to go into, I will see it in my book, and I think it's better not to use it until you have a more deeper expression of the symbols, as I have in that book, than those that have been printed so far. You can also use four symbols sometimes. That is to say, it doesn't always work too well, but it's amazing how often it does remarkably well. You take, if you get a, what is amount is that you get a number or a degree, and then you see the symbol that corresponds to it from 1 to 360. And that symbol will give you the what of the situation. What is the situation? What is the type of response? What is the quality that I should use in that particular situation, and so on, you see. And then if you want to get more detail about it, and the thing is not too lucid sometimes or too clear to your consciousness, then you can go into the opposite degree, to what will it lead to, you see. And then you can go to the fourth house cusp there, which would be the how, and then the why. And it's very, very interesting. Now, take for instance, I might mention those things. There are some that are even more significant and clear-cut than this one, but those are really pretty good. Take the symbol for Aries 1. The woman emerging from the sea with the seal wrapped around her. Well, that is the situation. The situation of the beginning of the cycle is the whole cycle becomes the process of individuation, you see. That is to say, the process of actualization of the potentiality of your birth, you see. Now, a woman emerging from the sea, then it is the emergence, the first thing of any cycle of existence. You emerge out of the unconscious, you emerge out of the womb, you emerge out of something. Now, if you want to say, what will it lead to, essentially, you see, then you have the Libra one, which is a very interesting thing, which is not, I think, put very clearly in Mark Sloan's things, which is a butterfly in a museum collection. a perfect butterfly is found, you know, impaled as there are any pin you see in a museum collection of biological specimen and so on. Now, what is, you can interpret those things in different ways, but the most basic interpretation is that you have there the perfect form of that life species. In other words, you have the archetypal structure of that particular being. And a very important thing, in practical thing, is that Libra being group relationship and group formation, it shows that no group can become fully effective unless it is the embodiment of an archetype. You see. And so you emerge from the sea, that's the beginning, you see. And then where will it lead you eventually? Well, it to become the archetypal thing that you were potentially when you emerge out of the sea, you see. Now, okay, that's you see the ascendant and the descendant. And then Cancer down there, the how. Well, sailors on a boat fold an old flag and hoist a new flag. How are you going to be able to pass from a plain mere emergence into the fulfillment of your archetype? Well, constantly change your flag. You see. You are on a boat, you are moving, you are traveling over the unconscious, you see, and you realize that there is a period where the old past thing is no good, and if you want to really be individualized, if you want really to fulfill your archetypal possibility, fold up your family flag and hold up your own flag. And then what is the result, what is the purpose of the whole thing, and how does it bring things into existence? Well, Capricorn 1, Indian chief claim power in a tribal council. In other words, you individualize in order to fulfill your function. There is an emergency because there is the tribal council, you see. And you claim the power to meet that emergency because you have emerged, you have repudiated the past, you have become in the likeness of your archetype, and the whole purpose of the whole thing is to be able to claim power so that your archetypal, what you are born for, can be fulfilled in act as it is. Well, I have no time, as if I have passed my time really, but you will find those things remarkable. Take even a five-fold pattern, Aries 1, Gemini 13, Leo 25, Scorpio 7, Capricorn 19, and you will again get a very definite pattern of meaning into the realm of the five, which is the realm of the creative mind, the creative intelligence, transforming mind, and so on. You have the sixfold pattern, where then you have the dualism of the so-called masculine and feminine, Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, and all that. You see, every sign is supposedly masculine and feminine. You have really a sixfold pattern there, and which correspond to the six great Shaktis, the six great powers, which you find all in Kundalini Yoga or in all Hindu Yoga, you see. And you have a pattern there of the dualism of what they used to call CZG, very funny name, ZYZYGIES, which are the dualism, duality, you see. And in the Aries Taurus, the emergence, Gemini, Cancer, the unfoldment of what has emerged, Leo, Virgo, the expression of that emergence that has unfolded, in Libra, Taurus, Scorpio, the reorientation of it, in Sagittarius, Capricorn, the coordination, and Aquarius, Pisces, coming to see. You have the whole process, and you will find that every degree of the zodiac for the beginning of those six things has a very definite significance. And you will find that, take for instance this symbol of Aries first, emerging out of the sea. Well, how you emerge out of the sea, that's when you go onto dry land. How do you live on dry land? Well, you have to have water. It's a different kind of water, pure water. And so the symbol of Taurus is a clear mountain stream. You see. So that you have what I call a symbol of, a symbol of activity, is not the word I use, and symbol of confirmation. So all the negative, all the feminine signs have symbols of confirmations of what has been shown in the positive sign as symbol. And so it goes, and you can go on like that for a great deal. Now, before I end, I just simply want to stress the fact that symbols are most fascinating things, yet one can easily get lost in looking at them if they are not related to center, which is you. If you don't relate the symbols that you encounter to your individual center, and if you don't see the meaning that is conveyed to you, communicated to you, to that center, you can be completely lost into looking constantly for symbols and all that, which is an expression of schizophrenia. You see, people seeing symbols in everything. Because they have completely gone into the circumference of their being, where they are completely being touched by something which reflects the archetypal things. But it's only a reflection. Just like, to some extent, I believe what you get in LSD is a reflection of the true and cosmic experience, you see. Reflections are values. But if you get caught into the reflection, so that you get after reflections all the time, you lose yourself into a whirling mass like a squirrel turning in his cage, you see. Everything has to be related to center. And they have no value, really, until they are related to a cyclic process. And the cyclic process has no meaning unless it is related to the center, because the cyclic process is the achievement, end in the achievement of that full center, which has become so much conscious and aware of the whole pattern of the mandala and all the contents of that mandala, that whole circle has become a fullness, a pleroma, a fullness of space. Space vibrant with all the meaning, which are totalized, are synthesized, and are glorified, and are transfigured into your total selfhood, which I call the man of plenitude. Now may all of you, as I go on, try to experience in your life as much as you can that fullness of being, and that peace, and that certainty, which is the only happiness there can be in this world. I thank you.
This is the end of A Modern I Ching, The Sabian Symbols, Part 2, by Dane Rudjar. The preceding audio is copyrighted by Leila Rudjar Hill and was brought to you by Rita, the Rudjar Institute for Transpersonal Activity. Learn more about Rita or contribute to the ongoing legacy of Dane Rudjar at www.rudjarinstitute.org. For the complete selection of free downloads of audio presentations by Dane Rudjar, visit www.rudjaraudioarchives.com.